most disrespected person in America is the black woman.
I am the dragon breath of fire.
The most unprotected person in America is the black woman.
Beautiful man, I'm the lion.
The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
Hey everybody, my name is Renata and welcome to Stressed, better known as Speaking to Real Emotions Sisters Suppress Every Day. This podcast is for the sole purpose of supporting women, especially African American and Black women, in the realm of being able to have a space to let our voices be heard. Far too often, Black women are made to feel inferior and like our thoughts and opinions don't mean anything in this world. But time is up and our time is now. Let's get into it. Welcome, 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 everyone. I want to start off first and foremost by thanking God for another day above ground and for blessing me with the activity of my mind and my limbs. Without Him, there is no me, and for that, I'm forever thankful for His grace and mercy that He freely gives me daily. Now, just a disclaimer, I love the Lord. However, the language used and or conversations discussed on this podcast may not rest, rule, and abide in your spirit the way that it does mine or the guests that may be featured from time to time. So govern yourselves accordingly. What is good, Stress fam? Welcome back, y'all. It is almost mid-August at this point, so don't kill me, y'all. I know it's been a long time, but we gonna get there. I'm gonna explain what's been going on, and it's all gonna make sense when it's all said and done. So don't be mad. I promise it's a beautiful situation of sorts, to say the least. But hey, y'all. It's been quite a long time, I know, since the last time that I recorded. Believe it or not, I actually started working on this particular episode like 2 months ago. And in a nutshell, this has been a season of transition. The first half of the year, basically, since the last episode, the last 6 months have been a season of transition. And it was important for me to be fully engaged in everything that was happening in those moments, good, bad, or indifferent, so that I could not only experience it, but really just revel in all the transitions that were happening. And I believe it's making for a beautiful ending in a lot of facets. So again, we'll get there. But how have y'all been? Like, it's been so long. And I honestly and truly really do appreciate everybody that has been listening to the episodes that have been posted. I still get, you know, information about, you know, the listening that's been happening on the previous episodes. And you guys are really, really, really loving the latest episode. Again, that was recorded back in January, where we were talking about feeling grateful. So if you have not listened to it, or you haven't heard it yet, or you have heard it and your neighbor and your friend hasn't heard it, send them the link for that particular podcast, because that was some really insightful information. And some really good experiences that, you know, I talked about on that particular episode. So again, thank you guys so much for showing so much love in the meantime since I've been gone. I know y'all have been waiting, but I promise you, like I say, we're going to get into everything that's been happening in the last 6 months. And it's going to make for, again, everything that we talk about when it comes to speaking to real emotions that sisters suppress every day, which is the mantra of what Stress is about. Like, these are the emotions that we a lot of times deal with and go through, and we don't really have an avenue or a place to express that. And again, this the whole purpose of this is to give us the platform to discuss the things that we deal with and we, you know, experience that we really don't get a chance to really dialogue and talk about. So let's back this train up just a bit. So, yeah, back in January, you know, like I said, we made the recording. We were excited because it's the new year. You know, we're dealing with new things. You know, COVID's still happening, but we're not letting that dampen the party, of course. Since that time frame, I actually took part in Keita's podcast, you know, our friend to Stress. You know, she was on during season one. Yes, we are in season two. Of course, we passed the 1 year anniversary in July, so we are into season two now. But yes, she was on, I think it was the second or third episode, and we talked about Unspoken Expectations. She has her own podcast, Kiki and Conversations. So hey, Keita, I took part in one of her podcasts where we talked about Jasmine Sullivan's Hotels. If you guys haven't heard that album, phenomenal album, top to bottom. You can just turn it on, let it play through, and just that thing just rides from top to bottom. You know, as a woman, I feel like she really captured the essence of how we go on an emotional journey when we're in relationships and we're dealing with people and trying to figure ourselves out in the relationship realm. I feel like Jasmine did a really good job capturing that. But if you want more information or more insight into, you know, my thought process, Keita's thought process, and Brittany's thought process when it comes to Jasmine Sullivan's, her interpretation or our interpretation on Hotels, the album that released in January, please head over to, you know, Kiki and Conversation on all streaming platforms, and take a listen. You know, we had a great time talking about, you know, the album and our thoughts and opinions on that. So again, please take a listen. And actually, prior to that, I took part in another podcast on Keita's channel as well, where we talked about just women in our history. It was an ode to Women's History Month in March. And we kind of dove into the avenue of, you know, women that are important, that are really, you know, making their selves known in different, you know, facets of life as it is. And as we know today, a lot of times that are male dominated roles, there are women that are, you know, breaking through and really showing that this is not just a male dominated industry. Like, there are women that are doing the work too, you know. So definitely, you know, spoke on a lot of those topics and some of the women that are, you know, out here doing things and that stand out in our eyes. We definitely talked about that, again, with a nod to Black History Month in February as well. So we kind of molded those two things together. So again, another good podcast episode where we talked about those things. Again, head over to Kiki and Conversations and take a listen to that episode as well. Since then, on a personal, professional note, I've been in my current position at my job for 3 years as of this month, actually. In a couple of days, it'll be 3 months or 3 years exactly. And just for the last, I would say, 6 months to a year, I've kind of felt a little bit stagnant in my position. There's not really a ladder climb of sorts to a, like, a leadership position based on my current position. And so the exit strategy for me, as far as finding something different, was a bit muddied in a sense, because I wanted to progress and do something more and stay with my company. But I didn't know what that role per se would look like for me. So I was a little lost, a little confused, and I was getting frustrated because I felt like the task and my job were starting to become a bit mundane. And although I was being looked to in a leadership capacity of sorts, I wasn't readily being given a title of sorts or any type of position to attain a leadership-like position. There are several opportunities that opened up in regards to where they were essentially saying, create your own position. What would that look like? What would the structure look like? What would progress in this particular role look like? Things like that. And so I applied for the position. I had a very detailed plan. I put it together. I produced it. I, you know, presented it. Everybody loved my idea, but in a sense, they were just like, no. And so that was very frustrating, very, very, very frustrating. And even the feedback from that situation was just essentially, it's a great idea. We just don't know how we would go about, you know, leading that initiative to make that particular thing happen. So again, that was frustrating in a sense, because I felt like if you asked me to put something together to create a position and you think it's a great idea, why wouldn't you let me lead it? So For a while there, for a couple months, I just kind of took a back seat and I was just like, well, maybe this is where I'm supposed to be. I really prayed on it and was just like, God, if I'm not supposed to be here, if I'm not supposed to do this, you know, give me that sign so I know that my work and my labor and everything that I've been doing for years, especially in a leadership capacity, has not been in vain, you know. So in praying on that, there was another position that came up, and literally was titled an apprenticeship position. So essentially like an intern type role, basically shadowing a different, completely different department that does other things involving the company. And I was like, you know, I'm interested from the standpoint of maybe that I need to learn a different skill that can be beneficial to my current role. Maybe that will entice me, entice my leadership, things like that, to really look at just what it is that I offer and how it's beneficial to where I'm at right now. So I, you know, they encouraged me, you know, in that process, and I took part in the interviews and things like that. I didn't get selected for the apprenticeship and I was a little disappointed, but in the end, what ended up happening is the people that I interviewed with throughout the process, these were panel interviews, at three different interviews, all were panel interviews, and every person in my second round of interviews that I interviewed with was very, very interested in me, unbeknownst to me. And so before the complete process was over, just before my third interview, one of them reached out to me and was like, hey, we're really interested in having you interview for a position that we actually have open, if you're open to it. And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. I just want to know what the result is of, you know, the current process first before I full-fledged jump into this, just in case I get, you know, accepted, not anticipating anything, of course. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. So again, went on, I didn't get accepted for that particular role. And I was just like, okay, here we go again. So I contacted the person that reached out to me and let them know, like, hey, I didn't get the apprenticeship role that I applied for. What exactly does the position, you know, entail, whatever that we're trying to, you know, possibly look at? So he gave me the information and asked me if I was still interested to interview. And I was like, of course, I'm still interested. So shortly after that, the person actually ended up going on maternity leave. His wife was pregnant and she was like due any day at that particular point. And so he said, knowing that his wife was pregnant and he was going on paternity leave, he would be back and he would more than likely reach out at that point, because he had to check with some internal people to make sure everything was good, I guess from an HR standpoint, and get everything figured out. And I was like, okay, cool, that's fine. So this was about late March when this occurred. So again, went on, continued my job, my position, you know, still frustrated here and there, and every now and then with things going on, still wedding planning for the ceremony that's happening in September. And I think I got to about mid to late May, and I was just thinking to myself, this man forgot about me. You know, it is what it is. I'm glad somebody was interested. You know, whatever's for me again is out there somewhere. So I did start looking in different places for different jobs, different positions, things like that. And around the first part of June, same person came back and was like, hey, I know you probably forgot about me or thought I forgot about you, but I'm back from paternity leave. And again, just want to check and see if you're still interested in the position. I was like, yes, absolutely interested. When would you like to set up interviews? My schedule's pretty clear for these particular days, or these particular weeks, whatever the case is. And it changed from, do you want to interview for the position, to I'm giving you the position. When can you start? And it was in that moment that really just, again, the spirit of gratefulness. It definitely was the transitional period in that moment, because it went from frustration to doubt to excitement to disappointment to, again, doubt to confirmation of everything that I had thought and prayed for. And in that moment, it wasn't even about the change in the job for me. It was the solidifying that what I've been doing, although I feel like I'm not noticed, that there are people watching, there are people that are advocating on my behalf. My leadership actually had been advocating for me in the background that I wasn't aware of. Some of my leadership even left the company, but even before leaving the company, made sure that they made contact with certain people to put my name in rooms that I had never stepped in. They had, you know, left good remarks for me, you know, in the eyes and in the presence of people that had the power to make moves and do different things, to say, you know, good things about me to get me to the place that I'm at now. So I appreciate everybody that ever said a prayer for me, that ever had good words, you know, to say about me, even when I wasn't around and didn't know what was being said. Definitely in a place of gratefulness at this moment. As of right now, I'm still transitioning to my new position. I fully start my new position here in the next like week and a half. So I'm actively like transitioning stuff right now from my current position to try to help on that end. So definitely been a positive thing for me, in regards to that. In regards to life, as you guys know, national president of a whole sorority, and that in and of itself has been, an amazing experience. Definitely nothing I can compare to my previous terms that I have been in leadership in this organization. This has definitely been a whirlwind simply because of the pandemic. The pandemic threw an extremely huge wrench in every single plan that had ever been thought, planned, dreamed, whatever you want to call it. There has been a complete wrench put into everything and changed plans, changed ideas, changed the way that we functioned, changed the way that we operated. And every step of the way, we were met with resistance, which I was prepared for, but just not at the capacity that it happened. And so essentially, as a unit, you know, collectively as an organization, we were accustomed to handling our business every biennium in a physical meeting capacity, where we have a huge business meeting over the course of a couple of days. And we had to quickly pivot to still having this business meeting, but everything is operated in a virtual capacity. There is no way in the world to compare the amount of work, time, and effort that typically goes into that in a physical capacity, and transitioning everything to a virtual capacity in a short amount of time. And then doing the best that you can to try to make it feasible for everybody to participate and take part in, all while dealing with burnout. From a personal level and just from my leadership level, like everybody else that I dealt with, you know, that was assisting me, like burnout was completely real. And when it all came to an end and was all said and done, I surprised myself, you know, the last day, because my whole thing about my entire presidency was more about giving flowers to those who really make the impact and make everything that happens happen the way that it does. I firmly stand on that, you know, personal life, private life, wherever the case it is, simply because there are so many people who work in the background, and sometimes that's their wheelhouse. That's where people thrive at. They thrive in the background. They don't want to be pulled to the forefront. They don't want to be, you know, praised and accoladed and glorified for the things that they do. But truthfully, the way I look at it is like a vehicle. A vehicle does not run without an engine and doesn't run without gas. And there are pivotal people that play their part in making sure that the engine works. There are pivotal people that make sure that we get to the gas station to put the gas in the car, to make sure that the gas is clean and that it burns efficiently, to make sure we get to our destination. And those people played their part perfectly to make sure that we got the task accomplished. You know, we didn't lose any parts along the way in this vehicle. And I think the emotional piece for me, like I said, that surprised me, was the fact that it was more emotional because it was coming to an end, but coming to an end and ending with the same people that we started with, which for me in the 6 years I have been doing it was unknown. There was always a piece of that car that fell off and we ended up having to replace it. So to start with the same people and end with the same people that I started with was an accomplishment in and of that. And to, again, just give them their flowers, to recognize them for all the things that they've done. COVID really did a number on the leadership team as a whole, all 20 of us. There was deaths in people's families. There was loss of jobs, loss of homes, loss of income, loss of stability. There was uncertainty. There was fears. There was every type of situation damn near that you can imagine that could happen to somebody in the midst of a pandemic. Everybody, from me all the way down to the last person on my leadership team, we experienced it in some capacity. And the thing that I loved the most was that we were able to be vulnerable with each other, to share in some sense that, you know, this is what's happening. You know, please lift us up in prayer, or, you know, just send words of encouragement, you know, whether it was, you know, getting a small gift together to send condolences, whatever the case was, we made sure that we took care of each other. And that sense of unity that we forged in that moment and in those moments is really what I was proud of and what I was emotional about in leaving. Even with that coming to an end, and in a sense how sad it was, I was grateful for my therapy sessions. Just to transition a little bit from that, my therapy sessions have helped me, because naturally the type of person that I am, again, I'm still coming to grips with the fact that, in a sense, I'm a people pleasing type of person. I realized that I don't like to see a need go unmet. So to make sense of it, where there's a need or where there's a vacancy, where there's a problem that I see that occurs, if I can fix it, I'm going to fix it, or I'm going to volunteer and be the person to say, hey, I see a problem, let me go fix this. Let me not just sit here and wait for somebody else to do it. Now, my natural mind, when I'm tired, will say, I see the problem. I really don't want to be the person to fix it, but it needs to be fixed. So I'll sit back sometimes and let somebody else do it. But the other side of me is like, if I sit there and I let somebody else do it, are they going to do it and fix the problem the way that I would have fixed it? Or even just to say, are they going to fix it so that this issue doesn't happen again? Like, that's the place that my mind starts to go. And so, again, taking up therapy last year really helped me to understand that sometimes there are going to be issues and there's going to be problems. And although I may know a way to fix it, or I may know the method to fix it, that's not my responsibility to be the person to fix it. Sometimes people need to fix things on their own. Maybe they need to fix things in such a way that it temporarily works but breaks again, so they have to learn how to fix it properly. But every problem that comes up, every situation that comes up, is not going to be my responsibility to be that person to fix it. And coming to that realization was a little bit hard for me, because, again, I think it goes back to my upbringing, with just the way that my parents taught me and my brothers was very much that when you do something, you put your whole self into it. You don't do anything half-assed. You do it with your whole ass, in other words. Like, it doesn't make sense to do something with only half of the effort, because when you do it with half the effort, you're going to have to go back and fix it again. Whereas if you just do it right the first time, you'll never have to touch it again, or you won't have to touch it for a long time, or by the time it has to be dealt with again, that's going to be well beyond your realm of control in those moments. So a lot of times that's where my thought process goes. But what I'm beginning to understand, again, even with that, again, with my therapist, is understanding that it's okay to rest. I think we, especially as African Americans, we have this ingrained sense of you have to do more than the average, or even doing more of what the standard expectation is, because otherwise we can be classified as lazy when we're far from lazy. Our history lends us the ability to rest because of the fact that we are not lazy. We were put into and brought into a situation where we were forced to do labor for other people because they were lazy. And the fact that sometimes that we want to sit down and gain some rest and peace within ourselves to recoup so we can be at our best, it triggers those things in us. And a lot of times I do, especially since, you know, things have come to an end for me in this leadership role. I find myself when I get into those moments where I'm looking around and I'm like, I'm just sitting here doing nothing. My first thought is I'm supposed to be doing something. And I have to catch myself and I'm like, okay, well, what are you supposed to be doing? It's the weekend. You don't have to work. You're not involved in the leadership aspect of this organization anymore. So what do you have to do? And it's at the point, like, I started creating work for myself. Well, I need to clean out this particular closet in the house, or I need to clean up the house in general. Mind you, I'm in a one bedroom apartment with two dogs. Like, there's only so much cleaning a person can do, truthfully. So I'm trying my best to work on being intentional in making myself rest. I definitely have to-do lists and things that I kind of make for myself throughout the week where I'm just like, I know there's certain things I see that need to be done, but I'm not trying to stress myself over whether or not those things get done over the weekend when the weekend comes up, because we only get 48 hours before we return back to a regular work week, you know, and that can be stressful a lot of times when you truly just want to rest. Sometimes that rest simply looks like I'm just sitting around the house watching TV all day, or, you know, I'm just hanging out with the family. We're playing video games, or we're playing games with one another, board games, whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's just merely, you know, in me and my husband's case, we enjoy the peace that water brings. So we'll go to the lake, which is close by our house. We'll drive down every now and then. We'll take the dogs because they're a little nutty. So it just depends. You know, we'll just go down by the water, you know, have a picnic down there, wherever the case is, and just enjoy the peace that comes with sitting by, you know, the river and things like that. But again, just being intentional about being okay with doing nothing, being okay with not having any task assigned to me that I have to do, because I'm realizing those tasks, as I write things down about things that need to be done, it provides a sense of stress for me because I feel like there's something that I have to do. There's something on the docket that's going to constantly eat at my mind until I get it done. So again, being intentional about my rest, being okay with that. So yeah, that's one of the bigger transitions. And then transitioning to temporarily working from home until my new work location opens. That's one of the bigger things that I'm transitioning right now. That's definitely going to be an adventure in and of itself. Because I'm not used to sharing a workspace, at least for long periods of time. And although me and my husband have been together, you know, since before COVID started, but I haven't worked from home with him since COVID started last year. So like when things first took off with COVID and everybody was, you know, shelter in place and stay at home and work and things like that, you know, that lasted for me, that only lasted for about 2 months because although the shutdown happened in mid-March, I went back to work in May. I would say like mid to early May, they called us back into the office and I've been going in ever since. So the work from home capacity didn't last long for me. And even when I was here, when shelter in place happened and things like that, like I can be in one room and I could almost to a T count every couple of hours, my husband's going to come in and stick his head in and just be like, hey, how you doing? And want to have a conversation about things, which is fine. And I'm cool with that. It's just that I'm the type of person when I'm focused on a task, I don't like to be interrupted or I want to be interrupted. But again, part of being married and learning your spouse is learning their quirks, learning them as a whole, learning their routines, just what their thought process is and things like that, and accepting them for them. They're going to be who they are. And that's just who we are as people. And I'm learning that about my husband. As long as I'm here, we enjoy each other's company. And so he likes to bounce things off of me with whether it's ideas or things that's happening work-wise. And I may not completely understand what he's talking about, but I understand the dynamic of when you're frustrated or when things are happening, you want to express that frustration to somebody that will listen to you. And I definitely want to continue to be that person that he comes to and talks to about those things. So whether or not I understand it or not, I always listen. But I also understand, too, that I have to communicate, hey, there's going to be moments where I don't need to be interrupted, or there's this specific time frame where I'm going to be working on certain things. So if you can hold it until, you know, lunchtime, or if you can hold it until the end of the day, that would be best, you know, in those situations. So that communication part is essentially what I'm working on. And again, therapy is my best friend. I've reduced it to once a month. I was going like every other week. But again, through this transitional period that adjusted and changed with everything as things were changing. So it's definitely been a whirlwind. One of the other things I finally did, while everybody's been, you know, going back outside and partying and stuff and having a good old time and traveling here, there, and everywhere, going on vacation, going out the country and stuff like that. I would love to do that, by the way. I just don't completely feel comfortable just yet because COVID's a real thing. You know, we already had regular COVID, the Delta variant's out here. Apparently there's a Lambda variant now. I'm still not understanding this Greek alphabet order because that's definitely not the Greek alphabet order, how that goes, but that's neither here nor there at this point. But anywho, I got with my bridesmaids. We were going to have a bachelorette type weekend. And I was like, I'm going to Atlanta. You know, I'm going to see Keita because she live in Atlanta. My other bridesmaid chair, we're going to go. We're just going to have a girls weekend and call it a day, whatever the case is, and have fun. And it was perfect timing because, again, my leadership position had literally just wrapped up. So the following weekend, went to Atlanta. You know, and it was going to be like a hot girl summer type of situation for the weekend. And that's not even what happened. And I was cool with that. It definitely was a chill weekend. We literally just, we had wine. We had girl talk all weekend. We went to the park and had a picnic for lunch. Yeah, like we played little heads up type games on the phone, things like that. Play a little Phase 10, a little Uno. You know, it was a very, very chill weekend, but in actuality, when we thought about it, we hadn't seen each other like physically. I hadn't seen Keita literally in almost a year and a half. Yeah, it had been like 17, 18 months since I physically, like in the flesh, could put hands on her and actually see her without there being, you know, a phone, a computer or something between us in order for us to communicate. So that, I think, even though it was a quote unquote bachelorette situation, it was more about just the reconnection, you know, with my friends. Like when it came to my other friend, I had seen her, but that was because I had went, you know, to the city where she lives to handle some other business, of course. So I saw her while I was there. But just being able to be in the presence of the people that I'm normally around in a normal, consistent basis. You know, you really sometimes take for granted how that is and how often it is that you can see each other and how comforting it is, especially dealing with the situations with COVID and everything right now, where personal space is definitely, you know, encouraged because of the transmission and everything like that. So just to be able to be in each other's presence and you know, just update each other on everything that's happened. Like, we talk on the phone on a regular basis, but sometimes different interaction talking on the phone and, you know, doing FaceTime compared to when you're physically sitting in the presence with somebody and, you know, sharing what's been happening. You know, it gives a different vibe. It gives a different feeling. And it was a wonderful time. We had a great time. I really do appreciate that moment to just it was that deep breath. Like I don't know how else to explain that, if that makes any sense. I think a lot, again, transitional wise, COVID brought on a lot of thoughts, opinions, feelings, anxieties, fears, pressures that from a societal standpoint, we weren't prepared for. If anything, I think it brought to light a lot of the things, especially, I'm going to say it, that especially Black women deal with. We as Black women, we take on a lot of responsibilities that a lot of times that people don't talk about. They don't acknowledge the weight that Black women pull. And I mean that in every facet, from just the functioning of how we operate in society, to the family structure, to a business structure, even in business. Like, there's a lot that has been happening. And I think I mentioned it before in another episode last year, but I had took part in a meeting, and part of the women's initiative in that meeting was pointing out the fact that, especially because of the pandemic, a lot of women were being faced with a decision of whether or not they would continue in their careers or would they focus on their families. And a lot of women were sacrificing their career progression to make sure that their family was in place because, you know, kids were suffering when it came to schooling from home. Like, that, my stepson had a hard time when it came to school from home because he just wasn't focused. It was hard to have a child sit in front of a computer screen for 8 hours a day listening to a teacher quote unquote lecture or try to teach them something and him actually retaining it. So there's a lot of work that went into, okay, your school day is over, let's go over the concepts that you quote unquote learned today and see if you actually understood and grasped it. And again, I think a lot of parents in general dealt with that, but again, especially Black women, because again, we're, you know, raising sons and daughters, you know, even if you do have a partner in the home with you, a lot of times, I think in the Black community, there's this understanding that women take care of the home, women take care of the children. And it's not to say that there's not men that's not involved in the process, because they are. And I applaud, you know, the men that are there to doing those things. But a lot of times that ingrained knowledge and ingrained thought process is that the women tend to the children. So women are taking care to make sure, you know, not only are the kids fed and they're clothed and they're dressed and they're bathing and they're, you know, taking care of their hair and their health and stuff like that. When it comes to schooling, it's, okay, what did you do in school today? You know, asking the questions of, what concepts did you learn today? Did you understand it? Let's go over those things. If they're not understanding it, reaching out for different resources, whether it's to the teacher or, you know, like I was doing, going to Amazon, you didn't understand this math concept, let's get you a math workbook for your grade level so we can review those things. Or let's get you a reading comprehension workbook and let's go over those particular things to make sure that you stay on track. Because again, like now the kids are going back to school, there's certain concepts they should already know and should have already learned. But if COVID played a factor in their learning abilities, you know, nobody wants their child to be behind. Again, because I personally feel that in the Black community, the children are a reflection of their parents and nobody wants to look bad. You don't want your children to be that person that's singled out in school because they don't know how to read or they don't understand what it is they're reading or they don't know how to do simple basic math problems, whatever the case may be, you know. So a lot of times we as Black women, we go above and beyond the call of duty. Again, going back to, I don't want to be betrayed as lazy, that's ingrained in the Black community. Black women are going above and beyond to make sure that, you know, these kids are ready for our ever-changing world. So there's a lot of pressure. There's a heavy load on the backs of Black women. And as things are happening and changing in society, I feel like a lot of that responsibility is constantly being placed on us as Black women to handle it. Black women can do it. Black women are strong. You know, how do they do it? How do they get through these situations? We don't know, but they seem to keep, you know, trudging through all the bad stuff that's happening to them and about them, around them, for them, and making a way out of no way. Emphasis on Black girl magic. People scream Black girl magic, but you don't understand the pressure and the load that comes behind creating that magic. Black girl magic is not something that's made overnight. There's a lot of tears, there's a lot of heartache, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of frustration that comes with producing Black girl magic. So when you see glitters and rainbows and ponies and all this other stuff in front of your face and you're just, you know, wow, I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. You don't know what it took to get to that point. And more than anything, what I need people to do is take a step back and understand and acknowledge. I don't know what you went through, but I'm sure it took a lot to get to this point. So I thank you. Because without you, there is no product that's produced. Like, the Olympics just ended and there was so much criticism with Simone Biles deciding to pull out of some of the events that she was on tap for because she was striving for the medal. And people have the audacity to say that, oh, she's ungrateful. You know, this is a perfect opportunity to represent the USA and go in here and take medal again. You know, she's already claimed herself to be the GOAT, but this is what happens when you talk so much about yourself and claim yourself to be the greatest of all time. This is that and the third. Not knowing that this girl had just lost a family member back home, but she was in a whole nother country participating in a sport to get an award with her name on it, but essentially for the country. And when she expressed and put her foot down, which is what I love the most about it, she put her foot down and she said, my mental health comes first. Them people were pissed and they were mad. How dare you quit? First of all, let's back this train up just a smidge. How dare you have the audacity to say that she was ungrateful? How dare you have the audacity to, in a sense, tell her your mental health is not as important as this gold medal that we as a country deserve? How in the hell do you expect somebody to be a global performer, perform for you, and put their personal health aside? Mental health in the U.S. already sucks as it is. You have a history, first of all, when it comes to USA gymnastics as a whole, that the people that come from that program end up with mental health issues because of the things that's happened to them. Let's not shy away from the fact that Simone Biles was one of the many females that was affected by their former coach that was sexually assaulting them. This is the same young woman who took it upon herself when that situation resolved. Let me open my own personal gym so that girls can come train and be comfortable because of the situation that happened. She was being proactive so the people that came behind her didn't have to deal with the stuff that she dealt with. We don't even know if she has been able to have the time to deal with the things that happened to her because she was too busy making sure the people that came behind her never had to go through that. Nobody acknowledged those things about her. Nobody acknowledged the fact that she had been through a traumatic time of her own to give her the space to not necessarily grieve, but to deal with her feelings and emotions behind it. Because what people fail to realize, there are so many Black women that have dealt with that type of trauma or worse in their life, and they continue to operate like everything's fine. And the thing is, they're not fine. I am proud of the fact that she took that stance and said, I'm dealing with a mental health matter right now that not only affects my performance in this sport, but affects my health from a mental and a physical standpoint. Because not knowing where you are when you're turning flips and doing stuff in the air can be detrimental to not only the team, but to her physically as an individual. And that is the most important part. And I'm glad she took that stance. Now, she did come back. She ended up getting a bronze medal in one of her last individual events that she did. And I applaud her for doing that. But I like the fact that she didn't feel pressure to come back when other people wanted her to come back and do it. I just want to, again, emphasize, we have to speak to our emotions. We have to speak to the way that we feel. We have to prioritize us. I feel like we as Black women, a lot of times we neglect ourselves to make sure that everybody around us is good and comfortable. And because of that, a lot of times we're not good and we're not comfortable. And as selfless as it is, and as selfless as it seems, we can't continue to be and operate that way. We're making ourselves sick for the sake of other people. And there's no more time for that. It's really not. We live in a world where everybody's out for self. Everybody's about making themselves better. And I think because we're so selfless, we're not paying attention to ourselves and nobody's paying attention to us. But everybody expects us to do what needs to be done to make sure everybody else can function. So with that being said, just to wrap this up for this particular episode, this is just a catch-up episode, by the way. Not going too deep or philosophical, but I just want everybody to understand and focus on the fact that change and progression is real. These are things that are going to continue to happen. Change is constant, you know, and it's how we react to the change, which makes the difference in the people around us, the world that we live in. And in all of the change and things that happens, put yourself in there. Make sure that you have time for you to do you. Do the things that you want to do unapologetically. If it interests you, do it. Don't ask no questions. Don't ask for nobody's opinion unless they are a valued opinion. Do you. Because nobody else in this world is going to take care of you like you. You know what your wants are. You know what your needs are. You know what your fears are. Tackle those things head on, unapologetically, and do it. Don't rely on the fact that I don't know what the end result of this thing is. Do it. Sometimes you have to go into those uncharted territories and really just take things on and see where the chips fall in the process. Because you never know. At the end of it, you might be creating a whole new story. You might be charting a territory for somebody else to follow that they weren't even aware that they needed to follow in the first damn place. So with that being said, as the dust settles, bringing it back home to our original excerpt as we get ready to wrap up, I got this quote from Mandy Hale, and it says, "Growth is painful. Change is painful. But nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere where you don't belong." My sisters, it has been a wonderful, wonderful quick catch-up episode with y'all. I encourage y'all to go to your peaceful place and de-stress. Get you a glass of wine and de-stress. Y'all deserve it, queens. Keep your head up. Until next time. Bye.